want to thank Micah for leading that song. My whole lesson tonight is about giving thanks, and Justin kind of touched on several of the things, several of the passages that I wanted to talk about tonight, but I think it was somewhat of a good introduction that his outro to his lesson was good, sort of an intro to my lesson. Before I get into that, since this is the last time I'll be speaking here at Eastside, at least for the time being, Lord willing, not the last time ever.
My mic's not on. Sorry.
I want to thank you all for the opportunity, the elders specifically, for the opportunity to work with Steve. Try not to get choked up. I got to give myself a second. Steve has been a huge encouragement example to me as a speaker, and I've learned a lot from him. I didn't think I'd get upset at all. I'm thankful for, I'm sorry. I know it's hard watching someone get teared up. I've done it before. I've been in your shoes. I'm thankful for the influence of every one of you. Huge help to me. I'm sorry. The influence that so many of you have been in my life. It's changed my life. So many of you. I'm so sorry. It's like everything's hitting me at once. I was not expecting this at all. So many of you have changed my life just by your example, the way you live, your love for God. I could call out many people who have I've had talks with, and I don't want to make this all about my time here, but since I do have a few minutes, so many of you have been such a good example to me. Your love for the Lord, your love for each other. One of the first things I noticed about Eastside when I first started coming here was how coming to Eastside was in 2000 and whatever year it was that I came here first, 2013, I think. Coming to Eastside in 2013 was like going to church when I was 10. I was hearing the same things that I heard when I was 10. That was such an encouragement to me because I wasn't hearing lessons throughout many of those years on modesty. I wasn't hearing lessons on the organization of the church. And those things are so important. I'm so thankful for Eastside and the strong adherence to sound doctrine. Just, it's been such a help for me personally. So I want to encourage all the young people, soak it up, learn it. Learn sound doctrine. Learn it. Because there are a lot of people in this world, they're not teaching sound doctrine. And they're taking captive, easily swayed people. A lot of them are young people. And so my encouragement to you is learn sound doctrine. Learn to love the Lord first and foremost and love your neighbor as yourself, but learn sound doctrine and learn how to teach and spread these things. But anyway, that has been one of the many ways that Eastside has helped me, and so many of you have helped me personally. I apologize for getting so upset there. It's hard watching someone cry, but when you got 200 faces watching you cry, it's even harder. So, anyway, like I said, Justin touched on some of the things that I'll be talking about tonight. There's so many different ways you can approach the subject of thankfulness and giving thanks. And I don't think that my lesson tonight is earth-shattering or groundbreaking, and I don't think that it's going to be the most profound lesson on Thanksgiving. But I do think that some of the principles that we're going to bring about from Scripture hopefully will help us see the importance of thankfulness in our lives. Justin talked about it this morning. Without thankfulness, we can easily go south. That's why I wanted to talk about this tonight. When we are thankful to God, it sets up the stage for so many other good things in our lives as Christians. Submission to God, full obedience, loving one another, everything revolves really at its core around being thankful. So many things revolve around it. The idea of thankfulness, some synonyms we could give for being thankful would be grateful, which many of us know that. Being appreciative, definition we could give, a feeling of appreciativeness for kindness or benefits received. So when we think about the idea of being thankful as Christians, along with that definition of receiving kindness, receiving benefits from God, then that is really the core of so many of the things that we do, of who we are as Christians. It defines us. We understand the kindness that God has shown us, and everything we do in response to that is out of thankfulness, is out of gratefulness, appreciativeness for what God has done for you and me. Is it not? It was God's will, and it always has been God's will, for us to be a thankful people. The first slide I had pretty much quotes this verse, but 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. This is God's will for me and for you. And the thing here that stands out to me that Paul is saying is not just give thanks, because that's what God wants from you. I think there's some significant portions of this verse that really define thankfulness in a more deep sense than we might initially think of it. First of all, he says, be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. Now, it's easy for us to look at the good things in our lives and be thankful, right? To look at our families and our friends, for the people here at Eastside, for what God has done for us in Christ, for his word, and the list goes on for all the good things, and it's easy to give thanks for those things. But what about being thankful when it's not easy? When we're suffering? When we're hurting? When a family member has passed away unexpectedly? What about giving thanks in those times? What is the importance of giving thanks in times of suffering? In everything, give thanks. That's Paul's command here. It can be difficult to give thanks in every situation and in every scenario. But what I want to emphasize, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll see this point. But what I wanted to emphasize is that even though we look at that and we think, yeah, it's hard to give thanks in times when we're suffering, in times when we're going through something that's difficult, in Christ, we find reason to be thankful for everything. It is Christ. Christ is the reason that we're thankful in our sufferings. Christ is the reason that we're thankful when someone dies. We can find reason to be thankful, to give thanks because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12, I just want to consider Paul's perspective here for a minute as an example. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, and it might depart from me." Does it sound like Paul was very thankful for this thorn in the flesh? He had this thorn in the flesh, and he was suffering from it, and he pleaded with the Lord, "Please take this thing away from me." It doesn't sound like he was very thankful. But listen to what Jesus says to him. He says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul looked at that thorn in the flesh. He pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus changes his perspective, doesn't he? Because he puts the focus on Christ, not on Paul. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, I'm going to boast in these things that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I boast in these things for Christ's sake, is what he says in verse 10. How do we find reason to be thankful in sufferings, in our thorns in the flesh? When we make it about Christ, when we change our perspective to think, okay, how is this going to glorify God? How can I use this situation to glorify God? How can God use this situation to make me a better servant for him? To make me a better child of God? Having the perspective of how our sufferings form us and how they glorify God changes the way we look at our sufferings and allows us to be thankful in everything, to give thanks because we are suffering. You know, the world doesn't understand that. The world can't look at suffering and think of it as a good thing. Now, that's where they're lacking. But in Christ, we have a reason, again, to be thankful even in sufferings, even in death. That's the beauty of it. God wants us, because of Christ, because we are in Christ, to find reason to give thanks in every situation and in every scenario, even in our weaknesses, and find ways to bring glory to Christ through them. When you think about giving thanks, Scripture talks about how giving thanks is a sacrifice to God. And it was a sacrifice, it was literally a sacrifice in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 22, in verse 29, it talks about offerings of thanksgiving. Leviticus 22 and verse 29, when he's talking about here various offerings in this chapter that are accepted and various offerings that are not accepted and the defects, in the middle, that's where this verse falls in contextually. But he says in verse 29, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. Yes, it's different, the offering of thanksgiving that they gave and that we gave, right? And that they literally offered an animal for thanksgiving. But at its core, we see from Leviticus 22, 29, that God wanted the exact same thing from them that he wants from us. He wants a willing heart. He wants a heart that is thankful to him. A heart that is gladly giving up these things, gladly offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Listen to what David says in Psalm 50, verses 12 through 15. Psalm 50, 12 through 15. It says, if I were hungry, this is God speaking to the people. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Again, God getting to literally the heart of the matter, right? It's not sacrifices that I want. It's your heart. I want an offering of thanksgiving. I want you to willingly give these things up for me. Giving thanks is our sacrifice to God, a sacrifice from the heart. But the question is, how can we give an offering of thanksgiving to God if we're not thankful people? If we don't acknowledge God for what he has done on a daily basis, if we're not meditating on that, if when we partake of the Lord's Supper and we only partake of it on Sunday morning and we don't think about it ever again for the rest of the week, then are we really thankful? Are we really thankful? I know Coach Merle's favorite song is Count Your Blessings, or one of your favorites, right? It's so true. Take the time, sit down, and think about what God has done for you. Just meditate on that. Don't say a word. Just think on it. And then give thanks. it is valuable time, time well spent, to just spend time listing out, counting your blessings, and giving thanks for them. But again, how can we make the sacrifice of thanksgiving if we're not thinking about the things, meditating on the things that we have to be thankful for? What are we sacrificing? We pointed out from Leviticus 22:29 and here in Psalm 50 that what God wants is a sacrifice of thanksgiving from the heart. That's what he wants. But what are we sacrificing from our hearts? Because when you're talking about a sacrifice, you're talking about giving up something, right? Something that might be valuable to you or that you might consider as gain, as you know, otherwise. So how could we describe this as a sacrifice of thanksgiving for us? Well, I don't know that I have all the ways, but I could think of a couple ways. One thing that we're sacrificing when we give thanks is our pride, and that we realize that without God, without what he has done for us, we would be nothing. We're humbling ourselves, right? Another thing that we're sacrificing is self-centeredness. We're thinking less about ourselves and more about God. And that gets back to what Justin was talking about this morning. When we're not thankful, it becomes all about me, doesn't it? It becomes all about what I don't have and what I want more of. But when we are thankful, we realize our unworthiness to have even what we do have. It totally flips our perspective. When we're thankful, what we're sacrificing is our pride, our self-centeredness from the heart. The New Testament talks about this idea in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, when the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Continually offering the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanks, the fruit of our lips, speaking these things to God, not just acknowledging, yeah, I'm thankful for that, or, you know, that's a great thing that I have, but literally thanking God and saying, thank you so much. Thank you for doing this for me, for giving me this. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. We read this morning. It says in Ephesians 5, 18, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." First of all, he hits on what we talked about from Leviticus and Psalms. He wants this from the heart, right? Singing from the heart. But second of all, he says giving thanks for all things, exactly what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That when we're in Jesus, we have reason to be thankful. You know, through Jesus and in Jesus, we talk about from the book of Hebrews how Jesus is, we read this morning in the Lord's Supper, how Jesus is the fulfillment of the fulfillment of the earthly copies of the heavenly things. And he's that ultimate sacrifice. And you know, the book of Hebrews talks about that. Well, in the same way, we talked about the Thanksgiving offering in Leviticus 22. Well, Jesus fulfills our thanksgiving offering in a more complete, more beautiful way than they could ever offer thanks to God. Because through Jesus, our offering of thanks is accompanied with forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus and in Jesus, we can offer a beautiful sacrifice of thanksgiving to God that no one in the Old Testament could ever offer, even if they wanted to. Then you talk about giving a willing sacrifice to God when you understand everything that comes along with that in Jesus Christ. Everything that identifies you in Jesus Christ, then you have every reason to willingly offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Makes me think of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Paul says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There's so much cram packed into that verse, isn't there? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He's allowed us to meet the requirements to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. If Paul doesn't give us a reason to be thankful in those three verses, I don't know what will. Understanding Jesus taking us from the power of darkness, the clenches of sin, and offering forgiveness, allowing us to meet the requirements of being a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Again, our sacrifice of thanksgiving comes along with much more than anything they could ever have offered under the old law, which gives us that much more reason to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. What happens to unthankful hearts? We talked about that. Again, Justin touched on that this morning. The very same verse that I was going to read and that we're going to read now. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 through 21. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What happens to unthankful hearts? Unthankful hearts are darkened by this world. You know, at one time, it sounds like at one time, these people, they knew, they understood, they knew God. That's what he says literally there in verse 21. They knew God. There was clear evidence of God. But what was their problem? What allowed them to get to that point of darkening their futile hearts? Well, first of all, they didn't glorify Him. But just as importantly, they weren't thankful. You wouldn't think that would be such an issue in causing someone to slide into the darkness of this world off the top, you know, just on its surface. But when you really think about what thankfulness does to a person, to a thankful person, what a thankful person acts, how a thankful person acts, and how they respond when they are thankful, then you start to understand how these people slowly started getting into the things that of their futile thoughts and their foolish ways, as he describes them, because they were not thankful. They didn't acknowledge God for who He was. Again, what about you? What about me? Am I taking time to think about the things that I have to be thankful to God for? I didn't have this passage in my notes, but I read it the other day, and I just now remembered it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 4, Paul lists all these horrible things. He says, in the last times, the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Right there in the middle of that list, what does he say? Unthankful. What? An unthankful person listed among a blasphemer? a lover of himself, listed among a slanderer, or an unforgiving, or a traitor? You see what unthankfulness does to a heart. It darkens it. When we don't acknowledge God through thanksgiving, our hearts ultimately become cold towards him. What else happens to an unthankful heart? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Paul says in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Well, first of all, we see Christ being a part of this, right? In verse 7, it is through Christ we have this peace. But when a heart is unthankful, I really believe that anxieties increase. Anxieties increase. If we don't take the time to acknowledge what God has done for us and what he is currently and actively doing for us, then we'll never know peace. We'll never know peace. That's exactly what Paul says here in Philippians 4. He says, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound." You know, he found peace in whatever circumstance he was in. "I found contentment in that. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Understanding, being thankful for what God has done for us allows us to weather those storms. Whether we have a lot or we have a little, and it keeps our anxieties at bay. Because we see what God has done for us and how he has provided for us in the past, and we're able, hopefully, to perceive what he is currently doing for us and what he has promised that he will do for us. You see how anxieties can be kept at bay if we're thankful? And that's exactly what Paul's saying here. Pray about these things and don't forget to give thanks while you're doing it. Be thankful. Colossians 3:15, he says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." You see how that connection of thankfulness and the peace of God rules in our hearts if we allow ourselves to be thankful for what God has done for us. If we don't take the time to give thanks to God, we'll constantly be looking for the things that we think that we need rather than what we already have in Jesus. What are some keys to being thankful? Real quickly. First of all, it's remembering where we were without him and where we would be without him. Look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at verse 4. He says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Remembering God, remembering what he has done for him. That's exactly what the psalmist is doing, what David is doing in verses 1 through 3. He says, "I'll extol you, for you have lifted me up. I cried to you, O Lord, and you healed me. You brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." He's recounting, he's remembering the things that God has done for him. And he says, because of this, because of the remembrance of what you have done and where I would be without you, I give you thanks. If we want to be thankful, we need to remember where we would be without it. In Psalm 107, the psalmist says in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And he recounts the ways that God has provided for them. He's remembering these things that God has done. And he talks about in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way, talking about Israel, talking about his people, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth to the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Listen to what he says in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You can just imagine the psalmist saying, why are we in this state? If we just remembered what God had done for us and we were thankful for what God had done for us, then we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be living in sin because we're thankful. That's the idea that I get from this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. If they would just remember what he has done, then they would stop doing the foolish ways. For he has satisfied the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. It says in verse 13, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. You see that theme in this psalm. Verse 6, they cried out to the Lord. Verse 13, they cried out to the Lord. In verse 19, they cried out to the Lord. Verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And every time he brings them out of their distresses, and he keeps recounting this phrase of verse 8. He says it again in verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, he says the same thing. Verse 31, he says the same thing. The issue is they're not remembering what God has done. They're not thankful. And because they're not thankful, it's the reason they're in this mess. Have we ever cried out to the Lord in times of trouble? Have you ever done that? I mean, I guess it's a silly question. I guess every one of us has done that. But my follow-up question to that is, has he responded favorably? Has he delivered you from your distresses and then you forgot to thank him? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this, or I have no idea how this is going to work itself out, and you pray to God, and then, you know, 1-2 weeks later, you see it's all blown over, it worked out, and then you get even 2 weeks out from that, and you think, I never thanked God. I never even thanked him. If we were just more conscientious of the things, first of all, that we're praying for, and keeping track of the prayers that God is answering, oh man, how much more thankful do you think we would be? And I've never kept a prayer journal, but I don't think I've ever done that. But maybe just jotting down, you know, these are some things that I'm concerned about. Going back and looking and thinking, has God handled these? How much more would we be thankful to him? How much more reason would we have to give thanks, remembering him and the things that he has done for us, and where we would be in our distresses had he not delivered us. Colossians 1:12-14, we read that earlier. But again, remembering what God has done for us, delivering us from the power of darkness, qualifying us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, remembering. Secondly, another key to being thankful is knowing where we're going with him. In Psalm 136, verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." If you know this psalm well, you know that in every verse it's repeated that his mercy endures forever. But he says here at the beginning of the psalm, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. God's mercies sustain us through future difficulties, through future challenges and trials. And again, this is something to be thankful for. And the psalmist certainly was thankful for that. Give thanks to the Lord because his mercies endure forever. He'll be with us now. He'll be with us always. Give thanks. Just a quick thought. When you're giving thanks to God, give reasons. Give specific reasons why you're thankful. You see it all throughout the Psalms. This is why I'm thankful. Look what you did for me, God. And for this reason, I give thanks. when you're giving thanks to God, tell him why you're thankful. Not only, it's not that he doesn't know, but hopefully it's going to help you be even more thankful in that moment to God and give a more genuine sacrifice of praise from the heart to him. A sacrifice of thanksgiving, excuse me, from the heart. So give reasons why you're thankful when you're thanking God. Psalm 100 verses 4 through 5 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, not with sacrifices of animals, bulls, goats. Come to his gates with thanksgiving. When you come through these doors, every time you come to worship, be thankful. And remember why you are giving thanks when you walk into worship. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations." The question tonight for all of us is, are we thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? First of all, do you acknowledge, do you understand, do you know what God has done for you through Christ? We saw it over and over again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We saw it in Philippians chapter 4. The reason for being thankful is for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you don't know that. Maybe tonight you don't understand what God has done. If you don't know that, let me encourage you and say, find out. Find out what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Come to someone here. Anyone, I'm sure, would be glad to talk with you about that. And tonight, if you do know, then are you thankful? Be willing to submit your life to God and rededicate yourself to him. We would encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing. Song of Invitation.